It's an exciting day in Curry County. This is Connie Hunter, Community Conversations, KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Yay, we have a special guest today, Commissioner Court Boyce, and thank you for being here, Court. How you doing?
Well, good. Thank you for the invite and the chance to reach out to people and in our county, and congratulations on your radio station. I'm hearing bigger and better things all the time, and it's a good community effort, and it's going to serve our people well.
You know, the wonderful thing about this is you've always been encouraging of the things that grow civility and a culture of well-being in our county. So thank you for saying that, because I think that KCIW has that heart for our community, much like you have a heart for our community. We talked a little bit before we got started, and we picked about three topics to speak about. And the first one, I think, is on everybody's mind still, and that's a Chetco Bar fire. And one of the things that I really noticed about the Chetco Bar fire and the leadership around solving the problems and the issues that arose in a natural disaster was that you were out in front. You were one of the people that was right out there letting people know that what we could count on you. So why don't you give us a little couple minutes on your experience and the things that really stick out in your mind about the Chetco Bar fire, the ups, the downs, and the humanity side of things.
Well, thank you again. You know, growing up in the Rogue River Wilderness, where I raised my kids, no roads, no road access, boat only. You know, we went through the Biscuit Fire. We went through the Blossom Bar Fire. And so I thought I knew a little bit about wildland fires and forest fires. And once I, you know, the sheriff called me on the morning of the 17th, or whatever that Friday was, when it just took an unbelievable turn, said, "You're needed down here." And so it didn't take me very long to get down there. And it was one of those deals, Connie, as you know, the scariest thing I ever have been around in my life. And the rate of travel for that fire, and the risk for Brookings, South County, all of us, you know, I saw so many people respond and react well. I mean, you hear that in national disaster. Yes, everybody really pulled together, and it's true. But when you witness it firsthand in a variety of ways, it is inspiring. And it's you can kind of point us in the direction to solving our county issues here, which is why I ran for office. You know, I've never been in politics before. And so just highlighting the people coming together, the various law enforcement agencies, certainly the city of Brookings, the state, you know, we got help from the governor's office. Our state representative, David Brock Smith, was on the phone nonstop. I'm nervous possibly leaving someone out here, certainly the Brookings PD, state police, that coordination. And then we had the Brookings Emergency Command Center available, which was really a godsend in my view, just to see how the capacity of everybody to operate in there, from the emergency management people to the law enforcement to the managing agencies, the state fire marshal, et cetera. Some of those people we knew beforehand, and some of them we were able to ultimately eventually call friends. So, yeah, trying time for us. To lose 192,000 acres to just the aspect of that, what it will do, what the consequences are for our beautiful, beautiful Chetco River. My kids learned how to swim there, you know. So the wildlife we lost, the private timber, the nature, the cultural aspect ruined, you know, our redwoods, our little stand of redwoods in Curry County, the only ones in Oregon, pretty much gone. And of course, the biggest thing for me personally was to see the homes destroyed and the upheaval for the families there. Absolutely stop your heart. And then the emotions, try and take control and who to blame and what happened. And yet, the federal government and what I believe are, and I'm jumping ship here just a little bit, but it's
great.
It's heavy on my heart, mind, and soul, and the people that understand the loss or starting to understand the loss because they're really involved, like yourself and others that I've known for a long time. And the government, through the Forest Service, has an obligation here to make this right. I'm here to tell you, and I have plenty of evidence that this fire could have been prevented early on. And it's a management concept as opposed to the Coos Kerry Forest Protective Association, for example. They put fires out at all costs, almost at all costs. And so, you know, I'm still processing, we all are, everything that has to do with this fire and what it means to us, the setback for our economy, the I took a flight over just the north end, just when things were winding down pretty good there, the end of September 20th or 21st, whatever it was. And yeah, when you can see up close and personal that devastation, you know, we're slowly but surely going from a natural resource economy more towards nature-based tourism, and yet we just lost a fifth of Curry County. And it's going to take years to heal. And so, yeah, naturally you start looking for, how do we get here? We're not going to let this happen again. You know, there's people out there who say, we have to control our own lands. That is the answer. There's people that want to promote horses as eating the mid-range vegetation. And, you know, that might sound like a crazy idea, but I do. My wife is researching that, and her job is to prove it's crazy and scientifically inappropriate for the Kalmiopsis wilderness area. but there may be, you know, it's there's an effort all over the western United States, Connie, as you know, to try and figure this out and to overcome. And yes, part of the process is local control. The people that are elected here to take on that responsibility, pull in the people. There's so many knowledgeable people here that retired and otherwise that want to contribute, that want to be part of the solution. And I think we're seeing some of those people. I know we are. We're seeing those people really come to the door and the table, and they're rolling up their sleeves.
And, you know, that's something that we all noticed was how many people rolled up their sleeves. Of course, there are few people we'd like to have seen roll up their sleeves that didn't show up. And I'm not naming names because we're staying on the high side of things today. So, but I wanted to point out something. The last Board of Commissioners meeting that I attended, you showed a video, and it was after the fire is out. I thought that was inspiring. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? And we'll try and have the link so that people can actually link to that YouTube video.
Great.
Because I think it's inspiring. You want to just kind of give me a little brief about what's in that particular video?
Sure. Well, it's when you get back to a blackened forest, it, you know, growing up as kids, Smokey the Bear. I mean, as a little guy, you're going, wow, he got his fanny singed. That must have really hurt. And so you want to be the ranger, you know, that saved Smokey. And, you know, Smokey did survive. But in this case, millions, literally millions of his friends and foes, birds, all the above, all the things we care about, did not survive. And so it gets back to the, you know, we're all environmentalists, thank goodness. I don't know anybody would, nobody, a lot of logger friends that would cut down a tree unnecessarily. Or shoot a deer out of season. You know, I mean, it's just that went out in the 50s, 60s. And, but yet we grow the highest quality, fastest growing trees in this corner of the world. It can be argued. That's why the redwoods grow so well in Northern California. It's that it's a moist, warm climate that just accelerates growth. Point being, in your 6-minute video that you referenced, Connie, you have to, there's a reason the Forest Service is under the Department of Agriculture. We grow trees here. No, the mills can't even take old growth. Nobody wants to cut down old growth. It's part of our heritage. It's Oregon's cultural heritage. And so, you know, there's one mill, I think, in Riddle that can take 30-inch trees, maybe 32. And so it's a second growth process that we use here. And they are really good trees. So we can compete with Canada. We can compete with New Mexico or Montana, whatever, in a huge way. So this video after the fire, after the Forest Service leaves, after, you know, the I'm sorry, the green activist groups that I really got a bone in my throat that's going to come here and block so we can't harvest those trees. This is exactly what happened on the Biscuit Fire, which is back part of the video that you mentioned. They do it through litigation. They do not negotiate. They and that's his rule. Some of the environmental groups, yes, will and want the best for the small communities, but those groups are getting to be fewer and fewer, and they're hurting our kids. They're hurting our future. And we just, as local officials, public officials, we can't accept it anymore. And we have the authority under the Constitution. We can bull our way and do the right thing and fix the roads so that they hold soil. My goodness. The jeopardy, potential jeopardy for the city of Brookings and Harbor in their water program with the amount of ash we have at the watershed. I mean, I could show you a map right now. It's four-fifths. The fire took four-fifths of the natural watershed out of the Chetco River. That is the source for Brookings and Harbor. And so I'm on it. You know, the feel-good groups are coming in and say, well, we can do this and this, you know, but they're I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt. And if they really want to help, then we're going to watch them make tough decisions, which is what this video is. It shows what happens when fire burns. Certainly some fires are natural and a good thing, but we just reburned 15 years later. The beautiful Calmeopsis Wilderness Area wasn't even a tenth of coming back in that 15 years. And they wouldn't let us salvage timber, even on the edges in those days. They waited so long that the timber companies knew it was not a good business decision to try and go in and ask for contracts with the Forest Service. So what are they going to do different this time? You maybe heard me mention the commissioner's meeting. They are at the table, so we've got to take advantage. They have the responsibility here. That fire should have been put out within the first 10 days, and there's plenty of documentation. And I'll come out with a news release. I sat in the sheriff's office with the district ranger, just the three of us, and I begged her to put the fire out then and hit it with everything that they had. And essentially, Connie, she told me she has the authority on that fire until a certain acreage or a certain amount of funds are expended before she has to call in consultants or fire teams. So that suggests in a very reliable, convincing way that this was not taken serious at the very beginning. And then they did the backburn on the 17th. I can't remember exactly when that was. And that, backfired. And yes, we could have lost Brookings. And I'm not going to pretend like that wasn't, it's just the grace of God that on the 22nd, that it went from the southwest roaring down the Chico River Canyon. All of a sudden, that wind turned and went northwest towards Pistol River and Carpenterville and Cape Rello. And I just answered prayer. I don't know how else to say it.
You know, we want to look at the next thing that happened then was that we got a little bit of rain, too. But that video, one thing that really stuck in my mind was there were some things that were put forward as solutions. And going in and harvesting those trees that are burned but not all the way through in a certain amount of time before insects start to cause them to deteriorate, there could be a way to recoup some money from, you know, the destruction. And then how do we replant? I mean, the video gave a great example of how to replant. Now, I can't imagine what one-fifth of Curry County being burned really looks like. I mean, we can't hardly wrap our minds around it, but yet we have to. We have to, because what? That, like you said, it's our natural resources. And please say one more thing about the watershed. Is that something, it's going to take multi-jurisdictions to solve that problem, so I'm appreciative that you're out in front and, you know, spearheading that. What are the different entities that would be involved in trying to solve that problem beyond, like, the Forest Service and the county itself?
Well, the city of Brookings is really diligent, and so I don't want to make it sound like I'm the only guy or something. I mean, I'm just working with that team, and it's real simple to watch and to be in the forefront, all of us, you know, as a team.
Well, thank you, because it's really important that we look at the, I guess, the magnitude, and knowing that we feel like some of the brightest people are in line to do the job. And when you say the city's involved. Of course, I know that the interim county administrator, John Hitt, and also city manager, Gary Milliman, are going to try and actually cost out what the economic negative impact of the fire is. And I did some research trying to figure out how in the world they're going to be able to come up with those numbers. But they actually have some things in place through data collections and things like that, that come up with numbers like in nonprofit sector, and this is specifically for fires, they cost that out as $9 per acre. So they say in a county where we have 191,000 acres of burned forest, that the nonprofit sector, like the food bank and ORCA and all of Curry Community Health, everybody's had to gear up and deal with this crisis. And so the actual cost to Curry County nonprofit sector is going to be about $1.7 million because we used up our local resources to fight an emergency. Now we have to go and recreate those resources, plus do our normal fundraising beyond that. And people don't realize how costs can combine.
Compound, yeah.
Compound is the right word. Thank you for throwing that in there. But anyway, if there was one thing that you could say to the people of Curry County as an encouragement regarding the Checo Bar fire, what would it be, Court?
Well, there are. I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you brought up the food bank, and you know, there are some terrific opportunities out there to really overcome and work together. And I know that's a standard thing to say and believe, but if you can lead people that way, and we all have that leadership obligation, I think where would I go with that? I mean, our kids are depending on us. You know, there's a moral aspect to this. There is a survival aspect to this. And that can be, you know, the old timers, when they put their shoulders to the wheel, and in the worst times, they end up absolutely thriving. We have so much talent in this county, and we're not going to let this get us down. We're not going to be unreal about it. We have to be really, as you said, try and get our minds around what we're dealing with here. And we're going to get aggressive we already are, in working towards the governor's office. And I think where this might go, you know, the biggest thing on my mind right now, other than the healthcare of the county, the law enforcement, certainly, Connie, is dealing with the federal and state partners that don't understand rural issues. And you see this all over, again, the Western U.S. And so this is an opportunity for them to step up to the plate. And we're going to hold them the pressure on them. We've got nothing to lose by being direct. And you know, that's jumping in the toolbox and saying, we're going to build. And we're very capable of doing that. We have no other options. People are depending on us. Our kids are depending on us. Our grandkids are depending on us. And so when you take that much resource out of the equation, it's just, first of all, we're not getting timber revenue. You can't replant unless you have the timber coming in, the timber revenue coming in. That's what pays for reforestation, as you know. What I've asked the CMAT team, which is the Community Mitigation Assistance Team, is we should be flying grass seed over this whole area right now. And if you'll try that, first of all, Corvallis, Oregon is a grass seed capital of the world. We can get ryegrass, a native grass that'll grow fast. We've got good weather coming up here. It's not going to rain again. I'd be very thankful, but shocked if it rained much before the end of this month. So that gives the grass seed a chance to hold. We can hold the soil. And if it doesn't work, if we get an unsuspected storm early, at least we can look at the federal government and say, well, you gave it a shot anyway. So.
And that's a huge piece of the puzzle, is dealing with that burn scar and rain and floods and mudslides, and preventing that is a huge, huge piece of the puzzle. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't thought about that. How would you approach doing that? So grass seed is a way to go. But how do you spread grass seed over a fifth of Curry County?
You know what? We just spent $66 million on this fire. So I think we have planes available now that most of the fires are out. that it can be done. And I don't want to hear that it can be done. Of course, logistically, it has some things. I'm no expert, but I know that there's a problem, and they have the ability to help us get it done. And we have got to try and hold the soil, or no, Brookings will have compromised water. You know, what it, I mean, I don't even want to bring up the fish. That's near and dear to my heart. You know, I live on the Illinois River, just a mile up from Agnes. And Connie, it's, I have a video in 2014, I think it is, where black, huge black logs are coming down during the flood. 12 years later. So I know I sound a little bit of a downer here, but I mean, we just, this is why we have to react. This is why we have to tell the green preservationists, activists, I guess is the best term, and I don't mean to put all of them in that category, certainly, but that's part of the reason we got here. When they look at us and say, that 200,000 of charred forest is better overall, I mean, I'm not going to accept that. It is insanity to me, and I don't know how else to characterize it.
You know, I had the opportunity to be in a press conference via the internet with the USDA secretary and the chief of the U.S. Forest Service not last year, but a while ago. And they actually, we actually recorded it. And I actually asked a question right alongside of AP reporters, okay? And my question was real simple. What do we need to do locally as advocates to get the policies changed and to get the financing to do not just fire suppression, but maintaining those forests?
And prevention.
Prevention, right. That's the exact right word. So my point was, they said, lobby Congress. So we aren't going to get FEMA money, are we?
Yes.
We are?
There is some reimbursements there.
Okay.
We're just learning this. I'm just learning this. And that's part of my, at the board meeting today, was my challenge to both, Council Huddle wasn't here, but Administrator Hitt, is that I think you might have heard me say that we have got to pursue, we've got to be on the ball and make sure we position the county in the best. And I can bring them back this information, and that's my job. And so the pressure's on me to make sure that I don't in any way drop the ball. But I think we have good people here that we're going to play catch up, but that's okay. That's what we need to do.
Well, the bottom line is nobody's given up.
No.
Everybody's standing shoulder to shoulder to try and get the job done. And what? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Is that the saying?
and you know, that's why not promote that? Why not promote back to the basics with, we will prevent forest fires, that we will recover from this, you know? And I appreciate you say that. And yes, Curry Tough is something we will take advantage of and promote and understand and encourage.
Well, you know, leaders deal in a different kind of currency. It's called hope. And I mentioned that when I spoke today in public comment, but we were talking about suicides.
Yes.
But my point is, it's the same thing. If a leader doesn't sound hopeful or doesn't bring the pieces together that demonstrate that there's a vision, how do we get there from here? Then people, they don't feel like there's anything that they can do about it. So leadership empowers people to be positive and hopeful. So thank you for that. And I appreciate, you know, the background that you've given. I don't think we're going to get to all of our topics, but let's do healthcare another day.
Okay.
And let's talk about a culture of well-being. And we're talking about everything from being healthy to civility and having that power to lead and have people stand in line to be a part of the effort, the recovery effort. What can you say to the little old lady, the little old man, the teenager, the veteran? What can they do individually to bring something positive to the table in the effort of recovery for the fire?
If they need to ask themselves, are they willing to invest in other people's lives? Curry lives matter. And I don't know how else to say it. And I appreciate the challenge and the encouragement. And your message on hope is so true and very inspiring. And part of the reason I give the direct information is, and I might overstate it sometimes, not the facts of it, but just, you know, nobody wants to hear, you know, too much you know, depressing information. However, we have to deal directly with the federal government. This fire started on federal land, and so the only way that we're going to be able to be made whole on this is if they are part of the team. Are we saying it's your job, we're going to sit back and watch? Heavens no. But I want to come back to, if people are willing to invest in the lives of others, I don't care if it's a church or a school or a neighborhood or friends, and you saw that during the evacuations, and it was tremendously uplifting and real and spontaneous and powerful. And so I just really appreciate you reminding me of that and kind of settling me down a little bit. Because we, you know, it's just, yeah, big appreciation.
I think the good news in this is that being brought together, even though we might be politically divided, that just didn't show up. I'm not asking the guy who's at the food bank or who's, you know, been displaced, show me what party you are involved with politically. Get it out of local politics. Let's be nonpartisan in our efforts. Let's look at each other and see each other. What? We're put on this earth for one reason, to love one another. Never forget that.
I had a good friend one time say, that's the 11th commandment.
You know,
it's to love one another. And it is, boy, it teaches you patience and gentleness and kindness. And boy, do I need a consistent dose of reminder on that.
Well, thank you for taking the time out after a long first half of the Board of Commissioners meeting today. I don't know what else I can do to encourage the effort, but can we visit often and regularly about this and give us progress reports along the way, the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's happening? Let's, you know, try and stay on the high side, but let's face it, if we have to look and say the federal government has some deficits and they handled things a certain way, and as we go along, those deficits continue, we need to know about those so that we can write letters, so that we can do our part as advocates too.
And so, again, I really appreciate the opportunity to go before the people and remind them and be available and accessible. And I just want to give KCIW a huge thanks. And yes, we can meet. Absolutely. Yes, law enforcement, public security, safety is really a big issue with me. And healthcare. I'm determined we're going to get that Brookings emergency room open and sooner than everybody might think. So I got my fingers crossed.
Well, and you'll have to give me good news on that. But one good thing is what we got, our sheriff is raised today. So law enforcement had a pretty good day today. So, shout out to Sheriff John Ward for all that he's done. I know you've been a supporter of his and of the sheriff's department, and we all want to just say thank you so much for all that you've done, sheriff and law enforcement and first responders and county commissioners and volunteers at nonprofits and volunteers that just said, you know what, nonprofit or not, I've got something to take care of, and that is my neighbor.
Right on.
So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for the help in the meeting today, and just your diligence and your participation and your heartfelt, relentless efforts, work. I love getting your notes, your emails, and you and Skip, and it's just, it keeps me going. It really does. There's some other people that have been awesome and helpful and supportive and encouraging, and yeah, Connie, thanks a million.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. And Jim Newman, thank you for being our tech guy extraordinaire.
Thank you, Jim.
And we're signing out for today. This is Community Conversations, KCIW, Connie Hunter saying have a great day and think positive.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.